I'm standing on the rock of ages, sing from all the storm that rages, rich but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages, rich but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Appreciate so much again the Mungles, and they've been such a blessing to the whole Rice family again, and appreciate them coming out here, being on the road. Pray for them. They're going to be here occupying again the prophet's chamber for the whole month again of September, and what a blessing again to have them here. And we call it a 21-step prophet's chamber because you got to go up all them stairs to get there. And so we appreciate so much the Mungles, and appreciate again that we can give them a home here in upstate New York while they minister a whole circle around us. Hallelujah. Amen. In fact, yesterday I called and asked for Pastor Rice. And he said, hello? And I said, is this Pastor Rice? And he said, yeah. And I said, this is Pastor Rice. And that's my nephew, Don Rice, is pastoring out at West Caton. And so they're going to be over there in a couple weeks anyway. And appreciate again that we could just make arrangements for them to be here and to stay at the prophet's chamber. And while they're here, praise the Lord, they're going to preach for us and sing for us. Amen. And Brother Mungley, you come and give us what God's laid on your heart.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. Amen. We'll get our music out of the way here. My wife's falling down on the job. That's her job to do that. I'm going to have to take her to the woodshed. Amen. Well, it's good to be here. Amen.
Amen.
And when you get my age, it's good to be anywhere. And we're not getting any younger, but we're still going for the Lord.
Amen.
And starting our 47th year in full-time ministry. And 33 of those years had the joy of pastoring. And now for the last 14 years, we're in evangelism, presenting soul winning, doing family conferences, and so on and so forth. So we're grateful. Turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Isaiah. That'd be the Gospel of Isaiah, right? Isaiah chapter 53. What a tremendous passage of Scripture. I had several messages on my heart, and as I began to pray, why, God just led me to this 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. And I'll tell you why he led me there. Because I felt led. I just want to preach on the old rugged cross today. Somebody told me, if you don't know what to preach, just go to the cross. And it'll be a blessing. Would you stand with me, please, for the reading of God's word this morning? Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was not taken. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Father, thank you for your sweet word this morning. Thank you for Jesus, who died on that old cross. Lord, that gave every drop of blood he had for my soul. Oh God, thank you for saving me today. Thank you for calling me into the ministry. I pray, oh God, that I can be a blessing this morning as I stand behind the sacred desk. Oh God, I pray you'd anoint me from on high. I pray you fill me with the Holy Ghost of God. I pray this morning that you give me the physical strength that I need to preach this message. And we'll praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. And just for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you. And you may be seated this morning. A preacher friend of mine was telling me this story many years ago. And he was talking about a trip that he and his wife had the privilege to make to go to the Holy Land way back in the early 70s. They said their guide name was Michelle Harris. Michelle was the official guide of the Lebanese government. And since there were no dignitaries in the land at that time, the preacher said they had the privilege of having Michelle as their guide. Michelle was a very intelligent man. He had many college degrees. He spoke 7 languages fluently. He said one day they were on a bus going from Damascus, Syria to Beirut, Lebanon. And he said Michelle came back on the bus and sat down where he and his wife were sitting, and he began to engage them in conversation. He said, "Have you noticed I'm different from most guides?" And the preacher said, "Well, how are you different?" Michelle said, "They walk crooked and I walk straight." "Well, what makes you different, Michelle?" asked the preacher. He said, "It's what I have in my pocket that makes me different." The preacher said, "Michelle, what in the world could you have in your pocket that makes you walk differently?" He said, "It's something that was given to me by my great-great-great-grandfather. And he gave it to my great-great-grandfather. And he gave it to my great-grandfather. And he gave it to my grandfather. And he gave it to my father. And my father gave it to me." The preacher asked, "Michelle, what is it?" Michelle reached into his pocket and turned it inside out. And pinned to the bottom of his pocket was a little silver box. And he said, it's what in that box that makes me different." Once again, the preacher said, "Michelle, what in the world is in that box that makes you different?" And he said, Michelle leaned over as if he didn't want anybody else to hear. And he said to me, "It's a splinter off of the old rugged cross that Jesus died on." And the preacher began to explain to him that he had missed the whole meaning of the cross. He said, it's not the wood of the cross that changes lives. It's the person of the cross. The preacher continued to talk to him about the Lord. And it wasn't long till they were on their knees in the aisle. And the preacher was able to lead Michelle to Christ. Michelle immediately got up and made his way to the front of the boss, and he picked up the mic and he began to tell all the people. He said, for years I've been showing people where Jesus walked. But he said, today is the happiest day of my life, for today a man showed me Jesus. I said that today to say to you that the world has misunderstood the cross. They've misunderstood the message of the cross. And we realize today that many people wear a cross and they look at the cross and they put emphasis on the sign or on the symbol. But oh, we who are believers, when we sing about the old rugged cross, we're not glorifying the wood. We're not glorifying the hill. We're glorifying the person of Jesus Christ who died there to give us salvation. Some churches and religious institutions display the cross with Jesus hanging on it. Oh, my friend, today they don't understand that Jesus doesn't remain on the cross. Thank God he doesn't remain in the tomb, but he arose from the grave and he walked out of that tomb. And he sits at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Oh, by the way, he's coming back again, glory to God.
Amen.
And I think it's going to be pretty soon, folks. We better get busy, amen. By the way, the cross was not an afterthought with God. The cross was not God's emergency plan for redemption. It was God's divine plan before the foundation of the world. So this morning, as we speak about the cross, don't visualize the wood, don't visualize the symbol, but visualize Jesus Christ who hung there on His torn and bloody body on the tree, dying for your sin and mine. Oh, that we might have salvation. That we might be an heir of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I want to call to your attention this morning four simple truths that are presented in Isaiah chapter 3 concerning the old rugged cross. Number one, the old rugged cross was necessary.
Amen.
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 It was necessary lest we perish in our sins. Beginning in the book of Genesis all the way through to the book of the Revelation, we find God's plan before man was ever created and put on the earth, that it was God's plan that Jesus would come as and be our Savior and be the Redeemer of all mankind. God even proclaimed that Jesus had been slain before the foundation of the world. Look at verse number 10 and the first part of verse number 11, please, in our text. The Bible said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, and he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. You see, without the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, there would have been no opportunity for salvation for the Old Testament people to be saved. By the way, you can say amen.
Amen.
It's okay. It's okay. Let's be alive this morning. Amen. I've heard some people say, wait a minute, how can they be saved by the death of Jesus on the cross? The same way we're saved by the death of Jesus on the cross. You see, the wonderful thing about faith, it looks in both directions. Amen. Faith can look back to the finished work of Jesus on Calvary, as we do today, and it can look forward to the promised work of Jesus on Calvary, as the Old Testament people did. Let me illustrate it for you if I can. As children of God, we believe that Jesus is coming again. Amen?
Amen.
Now, why do we believe that? We believe that because God said it. Amen?
Amen.
It's the promise of God. So we look forward by faith, claiming that promise, standing on the promise of Almighty God. And Jesus was promised in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. That verse, if you read it, points to Calvary. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. You see, Abel's bloody sacrifice was a picture pointing forward to the cross where Jesus would die. Adam and Eve the covering that God provided after they had sinned is a picture of the covering of our sins provided by the blood of Jesus on the cross when He would die on Calvary. Oh, think about their first covering. That was fig leaves, right? You know what that talks about? You know what that shows? That speaks of works. It speaks of trying to do something that we can't do. It was something they made to themselves to cover the animals that God slew. The innocent animals that God slew represents the blood sacrifice of His Son on the cross of Calvary. Oh, I think about that ram that was caught in the thicket that day. He became a substitute for Isaac there on Mount Moriah. A picture of Jesus who would become our substitute one day.
Yeah.
Then I think about the Passover lamb in Egypt. That's a picture of Jesus, our Passover lamb. You see, the old rugged cross was necessary for the salvation of the Old Testament saints as they look forward to the promised work. It is necessary for us as we look back to the salvation that Jesus provided on the cross. Secondly, the old rugged cross was vicarious. The word vicarious simply means substitutionary. Amen. It means somebody else took our place. Could I remind you this morning that Jesus didn't die for Himself? Amen. He didn't die for His sin because He had none. He died the death on the cross for a sinner. He became sin for us. He took upon Himself our sin. He died in our place. Look at verses 4 through 7, please. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Let me pause, and I want you to notice that phrase. We have turned everyone to his own way. Folks, let me tell you something. We better get busy for God. We pass people on the street, or we pass down the street. We think nothing of a family that's lost and dying and going to hell. Why? Because we have turned everyone to his own way. It's up to them. No, it isn't. It's up to us. Come on. It's up to us. You see, it was our sin that nailed Him to the cross. It was our sin that was judged that day, not the Lord's. It was our sins that made the scars on His head. It was our skins that cut His back to pieces. It was our sin that nailed His hands and feet. It was our sins that caused the Father to turn His back on His Son and let Him die as a sinner would die in the judgment of hell. It was our sins that caused Jesus to cry from the cross, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? I'm saying to you this morning that the old rugged cross was vicarious. I'm saying to you this morning that Jesus Christ endured our hell there that we might enjoy the riches of heaven. Many years ago, I read a story about a country school. In that school, there was nothing but a bunch of roughnecks and bullies. Every teacher that had been brought into that school, they ran off. And so this year, as school started, they got a new teacher to come in, and they said, and the kid said, well, this guy won't last long either. However, this teacher seemed to have some wisdom that the other teachers didn't have. So on the very first day of school, he said to the pupils, "This is not my school, this is your school." Oh, they really liked that. It was our school. Praise the Lord, we can do what we want to do. And the teacher said, "Since it's your school, there should be some rules. And since it's your school, you should make up those rules." So they began to cry out to the teacher, "No cussing, no cheating, no stealing." So on and on and on they went to make up these rules until there was about a dozen of them. And then the teacher suggested that if they were going to have rules, then there had to be some kind of punishment if the rules were broken. So back in the back of the school, Big Tom stood up. And he said, 10 lashes across the bare back with a strap for anyone who breaks these rules." The teacher said, "Well, that's pretty severe, don't you think?" The kid said, "It's our school. We made the rules, so we'll set the punishment." Wouldn't you know it? That very day, Big Tom's lunch got stolen. He went in and reported it to the teacher and said, "We've got to find the person who took my lunch, and he must be punished." Wasn't long before Big Tom, by the lap of the shirt, brought little scrawny Jim to the teacher. Teacher said, "Jim, did you steal Big Tom's lunch?" He said, "Yes." "Why'd you steal it, Jim?" He said, "Because I was hungry." He said, "I hadn't eaten anything for 3 days." And he related the story of how his dad had died and there was absolutely no money for food. The teacher was brokenhearted and said, "I'm sorry, but you know the rules." The teacher knew he'd lose control of the school if he didn't enforce those rules. So he told Jim to take his jacket off, take his shirt off, and lay across the desk. Little scrawny Jim began to beg and plead, "Please don't take my jacket off, please." Finally, they forced his jacket off. And when they got it off, Jim's back was bare. The teacher said, "Jim, where's your shirt?" He said, "I don't have one." The teacher began to weep. All the students were weeping and they gathered in that classroom. And the teacher told Jim to lay across the desk and Jim obeyed. And when he laid his little frail body across the desk, you could see his ribs and you could see his shoulder blade sticking up, and the teacher was weeping and all the students were weeping. And as the teacher began to prepare to bring the lash across Jim's back, Big Tom stood up and he was weeping. He said, "I know what the rules say, but there's nothing in the rules that says that someone else can't take the punishment for another." Big Tom said, "I'll take Scrawny Jim's punishment." The teacher, weeping, began to lay the stripes across Big Tom's back until 10 lashes were given. When the punishment was over, little Scrawny Jim grabbed Big Tom and he said, "Thank you for punishing, for taking my punishment." I said that to you this morning to tell you this. That's exactly what Jesus did for you. He took those 39 stripes. He took the thorns being pressed into his head. He took the ripping out of his beard. He took our hell when we're the ones that broke the rules. We deserve to die and go to hell, folks. But praise God, Jesus took our place.
Yeah.
Thirdly, the old rugged cross was voluntary. Look at verse 7, please. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Now, before we get into the comments about this particular point of Scripture, I want you to understand why the Bible changed the gender from he to her in verse number 7. Someone would say, well, it's a mistake in the Bible. No, there's no errors in Scripture. There's no errors or mistakes in the King James 16:11. You see, when a ram or a male sheep gets sheared, he bucks and kicks, and they have to tie him down in order to shear him. But when a ewe lamb or a female sheep is sheared, she walks up to the shearer and stands still before her shearer. So God changed the gender here to show that Jesus was the perfect type of lamb. His death was voluntary. Jesus said, no man taketh my life from me, I lay it down of myself. You see, the old rugged cross was voluntary. Many people try to make Jesus out to be a sissy. They try to make him out to be a feminine individual. Listen, Jesus was neither of those. He was this perfect specimen of a man. He was God-man. Just as much God as though he'd never been man, and just as much man as though he'd never been God. They'd already tangled with him once when he drove the money changers out of the temple. He wasn't a sissy, brother, when he did that. He wasn't a sissy because they sent a band of soldiers to the garden to arrest him. A band of soldiers can be as much as 500 armed and ready to go to battle, but the Bible said he opened not his mouth. You see, he knew if he didn't go to Calvary and die for our sins, that we would go to hell for all eternity. They put him through that false, quote-unquote, trial. They falsely accused him, but he opened not his mouth. They slapped him, but he opened not his mouth. They ripped out his beard, and they opened not his mouth. They put the crown of thorns into his brow, but he opened not his mouth. They spit upon him, but he opened not his mouth. They plucked out his beard, and he opened not his mouth. They laid the cat of nine tails 39 times across his back, but he opened not his mouth. He spoke not one angry word. By the way, show me one man today that would do that. We cuss somebody out just because they cut us off. Hello? When things don't go right, we get all upset. Oh, by the way, when he speaks from the cross, what's he going to say? Is he going to curse the world of hell? No. But we would have. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Mm-hmm. You see, Jesus died on Calvary freely and voluntarily for you and for me. Number four, the old rugged cross is for sinners. Oh, thank God for that. I was once a lost sinner, now I'm a saved sinner. Amen. By the way, Jesus didn't come for the good. He didn't come for the religious crowd. He came to save sinners. The Bible said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He died for sinners. Amen. By the way, if you've never been saved this morning, he died for you.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Do we ever think very much about how much God loves us? Listen, if we could just get a speck of that understanding, what a difference it would make in our individual lives, let alone our churches. Here is the perfect Son of God who desires to be lifted up and elevated and worshipped and praised. And he, we are deserving to be doomed and damned in hell, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He died on Calvary. I tell you what, Brother Ed, I've not figured out that kind of love. I've not figured that out. I've never figured out why he loved me. When I think about people like Saddam Hussein, all those other people, you know, God loved them just as much as he did me. Died on the cross for them. I can't figure that kind of love out. But you know what? I'm sure glad he died. I praise God for Calvary this morning. Oh, I don't praise God for the grief and the pain and torture that Jesus went through. But I praise God that he went through it so that I could have heaven as my home. Heads are bowed, please. Eyes are closed. The old rugged cross. What a message. If you're here this morning and never trusted Christ as your Savior, I can't think of a better day to get that done. You ought to come. Be saved today. How many of you in this morning have lost loved ones? Would you lift your hand, please? Yes. Hands all over the building. I can't think of a better time to fill a church altar than to come and pray for those lost loved ones. Pray that God would somehow intervene through somebody. Through a preacher, through a friend, whatever. Let's all stand together. These altars are open. We don't have to have a song. This is God's invitation. These altars are open. If there's ever a time we ought to come and pray for our loved ones, it's now, because, listen, folks, time's getting short. I believe Jesus could come at any time. It wouldn't surprise me if he came today. I thank God that one day my wife and I made a pact with God that none of our kids would die and go to hell. They all saved, serving the Lord. Then we made a pact that our grandkids would not die and go to hell. They all saved. Thank God for that. We made a pact that none of our great-grandkids would go to hell. Some of them are saved. Some are not old enough yet. But as they grow older, God give them strength. I'll tell them about the sweet, blessed story of how much Jesus loved them. Some of you this morning may have a special need in your heart. If you do, if you'll just raise your hand, we'll pray for that need before we leave here today. Anybody with a special need, just lift your hand and say, Preacher, pray for me. Pray for this need. We appreciate you today. I appreciate the opportunity of standing behind this sacred desk and preaching the Word of God. There's no sweeter story in all the Word of God than the old rugged cross. Help us to realize how much Jesus loved us. What he went through to save us from our sin. Father, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God today. Thank you for the strength of the filling of the Holy Spirit and the unction, Father, to preach. Thank you for the opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk to preach the sweet, sweet stories, sweet blessings of the Word of God. Father, keep my wife and I strong so we can keep going. We love you, Lord. We want to see souls saved all over this country. Now bless, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Ed, God bless you, brother.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And